Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is a verse from the gospel reading, John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Thus far the text. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me." A homily with the theme, loving Jesus, might at first seem a bit simplistic for a seminary, at least one that is not into pietism or the charismatic movement. Such a theme perhaps would be more appropriate for a vacation Bible school program or for a sermon in one of the many non-denominational congregations. Yet our text, containing the very words of Jesus, leads us to consider the matter of loving Jesus in this chapel service on this seminary campus. All right, fine, we think, but since all of us love Jesus, what more needs to be said? Again, our text leads us here to review powerful gospel truths. When Jesus says, "If anyone loves me," he is indicating that some will not love him, which is, of course, the reality. The Greek verb that Jesus uses for loves, agapao, reminds us that only believers love Jesus. Believers alone have agape for Jesus, since agape flows only from faith. It is, in fact, the highest fruit of faith. God created and preserves faith in us through his gospel, word, and sacrament. As believers, as those who are not spiritually dead, but alive in Christ and grasping him in faith, we love Jesus. God has caused us to believe the gospel facts concerning Christ. We agapao him for who he is, the Son of God who became man. And for what he has done, he, for us, resisted all the temptations of Satan. And for us, he perfectly kept all of God's law in thought, word, and deed. Christ, as our substitute, out of love for us, willingly endured the agony of everlasting damnation in hell for each one of us to pay the total penalty for our transgressions. And Jesus arose from the dead for us as our victor over sin, death, and the devil, that we might have salvation. The Bible says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." At times, our love for Christ has met this directive from Scripture. That is because of God's motivating us through his means of grace. But have we always, at every moment, loved Jesus as we ought, putting him first in our lives, having him as our highest joy and delight, regarding him and his companionship as our greatest good? Have we constantly loved Christ fully and completely, above everyone and anything else? Many, if not all of us, would have to confess, "No, I have not." Satan, who was always trying to get us to put someone or something else as first in our lives, ahead of Christ, at times has tripped us up. Perhaps in the past, Satan aroused persecution against us because of our faith, as a result of which our love for Christ grew cold. The devil throws all kinds of distractions at us, hoping as a result to get us to push Christ into the background. The great irony is that we who are or who will be church workers, professional church workers, in the very carrying out of our responsibilities, can experience a lessening of our love for Christ. We could be so professionally into the word so that we can professionally proclaim it and teach it and preach it that we do not let the word speak to us personally, penetrating our own hearts and souls. Or we could work at a project for Christ, but then become so concerned that the project meets a goal or that others regard us as successful that as a result, Christ becomes something of an afterthought. Therefore, it is so important that we read and study the Word of God for our own benefit in private devotions every day. God, through His Word and His Supper, will keep us believing in Jesus and having our supreme love for Him. Through His means of grace, God will keep us strong in faith in and love for Jesus. We will keep on echoing the words of Martin Luther. To be sure, I do love my wife and child, my house and home, and my friends. But I do not love them more than I love Christ. I do not love them so much that on this account I would deny Him and His word. No, I would much rather surrender everything the world loves and instead suffer what it shuns and avoids. So true love for Jesus flows from faith in Him. Jesus goes on to say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We demonstrate our love for Jesus by following what He has taught. The Bible says we can be sure that we know Him, namely Jesus, if we obey His commands. In the verses immediately preceding our text, Christ says, if you love me, you will do what I command. And whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Through the reading, hearing, and studying of God's word, we know what Jesus wants us to do. One of His commands is, you shall love, agapao, your neighbor as yourself. Further, in showing Christian love to others, we are showing love to Christ, for He has said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. This love, which flows from faith, results in our doing what we can to help others in their physical need and above all, in their spiritual need. Agape moves us as church workers to pray for those whom we serve and to present to them the gospel for their everlasting welfare. We have to confess that we have not been perfect in this regard. That is, we must admit that at times we have not loved our neighbor as we ought and shown such love. But the beautiful news of the gospel is that we have forgiveness through faith in Christ, the one of the cross and the open tomb. Through that same gospel word and that word joined to bread and wine, Christ motivates and empowers us to keep on living as His people, imperfect though we are, and to grow in our having love for and showing love to others. Finally, loving Jesus as believers, we have a special blessing from God. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. What an amazing promise from Christ. What this love of the Father is, Paul explains for us in Romans 8, where he writes, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us, who are believers, all things? God has implanted faith and love for Christ in our hearts. With His help, we demonstrate that love, and then God Himself responds to that love in our hearts. The Father, the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit even come to us and make their home with us. This is an invisible spiritual coming, full of additional blessings. What can be more blessed? What higher honor is there? What greater glory than to have God Himself come and take up residence with us? God is abiding with us no matter where we are, what our circumstances are, what our condition is. Joined together with God, we can face anything in life. at the loss of our possessions or our health or our loved one or our friends, God is still there beside us to help us as is best for us and to give us comfort and reassurance and strength through his means of grace. And when at last we are going through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not have to fear any evil, for there too God will be with us to take us to himself in glory. Faith results in loving Christ. In fact, having this as our highest love. This love results in our keeping Christ's word and in God making his home with us. Let us thank God for making us and trust him to keep us those who love Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.